D.O.T.
Okay. So if everybody's getting seated, then we can start with the next session. And you may know this man if you have seen the previous session.
I was just here.
So it's Sandeep Gupta from Amazon, Vice President of Fire TV Product Management. I hope I got the title right.
Product Development.
There you go. My name is Janko Redkus. I'm a writer for Variety. And we're going to talk all about Fire TV in this session. And it's timely because you just announced and you're going to start selling next week the Fire TV Cube, a new device, sort of a little bit of a new device category for you guys as well. Tell us a little bit about what the Cube is all about.
Yeah, so the Cube is a new type of product. And, you know, we started Fire TV 4 years ago, really focused on building a great user experience, making content easy to get at, easy to find, focused on the experience. And, you know, we've grown dramatically over the last 4 years. We've become the market leader for streaming media products. And in looking at the next generation of product for TV and the home, we really want to take a step back and figure out what our customers are struggling with today. What are the challenges they're struggling with in the home? What are they dealing with in getting access to their entertainment systems? And what we discovered was they're just overwhelmed. They struggle with, where do I watch my TV shows? How do I get movies? All this great original content. I have my cable box. I have a TV. I want a sound bar. I may have a receiver. How do I make that work together? And everyone's coffee table looks like, you know, a weird abstract art thing with these random remotes, and no one remembers what goes to what or the batteries are dead or not. And when we were looking at where we want to go, you know, I talked a little bit about the vision for voice in the previous discussion, and we really feel voice is the future of entertainment and how you use it in the home and how you navigate it in the home, because really that's very natural for us. As people, you know, we talk in the, you know, we start talking before we do writing or anything else. It's just how we begin. So it seems odd then to like then regress and say, well, now you got to learn how to use a remote or a number grid or learn channel numbers. It's just a very odd thing. So with the Cube, we said, all right, well, we have a great voice engine, Alexa. We have a great way to hear people with our microarrays that we've built with the Echo products that are great for hearing people. And then we have a great Fire TV experience. What else can we do? And that's where we brought in control of the entertainment system to really help that next hurdle and solve for people. And that's, a lot of people have done CEC control, but in looking at CEC, it kind of limits what you can do. I mean, you have to have the right TV. It still limits what kind of devices you have in your home. And if you take it home, you still don't know if it's going to work. So even though it was odd, we were like, let's go old school and integrate IR. Because IR, for whatever you want to say about it, is still ubiquitous. It's still going to be in everything because it's still the cheapest technology. And quite frankly, it works. It is, if you have a system at home, I mean, everyone who has a TV has an IR remote. It's just the reality of things. So if we really want to work with everyone's systems, we should integrate IR. So that was a big part of this product and taking some of that complexity out of the hands. So, you know, to truly simplify the entertainment experience, where we've done the content part, we've done the search part, we've done the transport control part, let's help you with your entertainment system as well. So when I come in the house and I say, you know, watch Billions or tune to ESPN, that's done for me. It turns on my TV, turns on my soundbar, tunes my cable box to ESPN, and I'm done. And that's really what it is. It's about empowering users to watch TV they want to watch TV.
So let's talk about voice for a second, even though you just talked about voice on the other page. We're trying to mix it up a little bit. But you start to integrate Alexa into Fire TV early on with the remote control, mm-hmm. where you have to press a button. Yeah. Then you did Far Field by allowing people to connect their Echo to it or their Echo Dot or whatever they have around the house. What kind of usage patterns have you seen? How are people using voice on the TV, and how does it change if you have Far Field?
It's very interesting. So we've had the voice remotes from the very beginning, right? We had that for 3 years before we added Echo pairing. And even when we added Alexa into the voice remote capability, people still primarily used it for search. But because they got comfortable with that, and people think of Alexa as yelling at it, not pressing a button to do it. It's just, you know, Alexa, damn it, I didn't press the button. No, it just doesn't, it felt a little weird. But when he introduced the Dot, what we saw was, you know, 2x engagement with Alexa and voice commands, because it just feels natural to just talk to it. It always felt weird to press a button and then say Alexa. It's just natural to start by saying Alexa. And the great thing, you know, and especially with the Cube in our own internal testing, is the more you enable, the more people try, the more they use it, and the types of utterance they use just continues to grow. And I think it's really, people feel more in control with voice. I think more and more, I was thinking about it the other day, is, you know, remote controls are very weird. They have a number grid that's like a calculator. And so we've made a experience, TV experience, make you have to do, you know, math or numbers or guess what channel I'm on. Like, everybody does that mental math, right? Okay, so I watch Comedy Central. That's about 10 off of CNN. So that was 750. And I think we've all kind of done that mental math. And, you know, voice, you know, just being able to say the channel, jump to it, it just makes people want to do it more.
Now, you are still shipping the Cube with a remote control, right?
We are.
Did you ever consider just leaving it out of the box and just relying entirely on voice?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about that, but at the same time, you don't want to leave your customers behind. And there is still a comfort to a remote, and, you know, we're going to voice enable a lot of the experience, but, you know, we have an ecosystem of thousands of apps, and they all work a little differently, you know, and we've created a skills kit so they can voice enable their experiences, but, you know, that all comes over time, so people still want to navigate in their app, so we have to keep enabling that and make that available to them. And at the end of the day, we don't want to dictate to people how to use the product. We want them to use it the way they feel most natural, and for some people, in some areas, they'd rather use a remote. In some cases, voice is more natural.
So Alexa and the Echo has been a big hit for Amazon. People, supposedly you guys shipped some 30 million of those, I think.
I haven't checked the number.
All right.
But,
that's right.
I believe
anyway,
you.
Anyway, most of those have been traditional speakers that you have in your kitchen, somewhere else. You just talk to it. It doesn't have a display. The Cube has a display. How does that change things?
Oh, I think it's a huge change. It's just the TV is an interesting product, because, you know, back when it started in the early 60s, people felt like, oh, it's going to destroy the family experience because people wouldn't talk to each other. And today is quite the opposite. It's still a place where people come together and they share things together, they work together, and they enjoy, you know, they entertain each other together. And what that allows us to do with Alexa and the screen is that you have a great visual experience too. So, you know, if you want to check out trailers or, you know, check on your smart home or check cameras, the screen is an ideal place to do that. And it also gives you positive reinforcements and feedback that I think really resonates with customers. They like having that. They like being able to interact with it, to see a response to what they're asking. And it's just more natural flow for them.
Let's talk about Fire TV in general. I think Amazon introduced it about four years ago. How has the product evolved, and how has your thinking of Fire TV as a product category evolved?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when we started Fire TV a while back, we launched in April of 2014, the first one. It was really about on-demand content, VOD, and streaming services like that. There was no OTT. It was kind of a separate experience in many ways, kind of like you would switch to your Blu-ray player, you'd switch to your Fire TV for Netflix, those sorts of things. You know, over the years, there's been kind of a coming together of these different contents and blurring of that experience. Today, you have a lot of live content, live events. You know, we've shown NFL games. We've just signed a deal for Premier League. You have Hulu Live, PlayStation View, all these great live content services. And what we've had to do for Fire TV is kind of evolve our experience for that as well. You know, customers are now tuning to channels live as well as watching on demand. So how do you bring that all together? How do you make that seamless? How do you make that easy to get at? And that's kind of put a challenge on us in improving our systems, our catalogs, our understanding of applications, and also how we work with our partners. Like, we do a lot of tight integration with partners like Netflix and Hulu and PlayStation View and other Sling to understand the kind of services and content they provide so that when a user says, you know, watch Handmaid's Tale or watch, say, CNN, we know what to do. Otherwise, you would have, say, in the previous world, we would have said, go launch the CNN app or go launch that app and then find it. But now, because we have that integration with those partners, we can do it transparently. And that's really how the experience has had to change. It has to change across the board in order to accommodate that.
I remember when you shipped the first Fire TV, it was kind of positioned a little bit as a higher-end device, or at least a more powerful device than some of the other streaming devices out there. There was a game controller available for it as well. There was a heavy emphasis on video games.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a whole lot of that lately. What has happened to video gaming for Fire TV?
Well, I mean, so we still support gaming, and we still sell the controller, but our emphasis has been more on sort of family gaming. We have some games, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Fibbage. We just introduced a great Alexa skill, a Jeopardy Alexa skill, which has been very fun on Fire TV playing Jeopardy. But what we found was what resonates with customers around the TV, and sort of with the Fire TV kind of product, is the interactive games where you're playing together, you're networking, you're kind of sharing the experience, and not the traditional games console model. So we've looked in ways to enhance that and focus less on the high-performance, intense gaming, but more the collaborative, entertainment, fun sort of shared experiences.
I think the first Fire TV cost $100.
That sounds about right.
And now you have a much wider range of devices, a stick that's much cheaper.
Yeah.
You're integrated into TVs, the Fire TV edition. How has that changed the types of customers that you can reach, and how do you react to that, I guess?
Well, I think the interesting thing is when we first launched it, it was more of an early adopter thing, right? I mean, the technology was still starting. Streaming services were starting to pick up steam with Netflix and Amazon Prime Video. But it was not ubiquitous. Today, you know, if you've got a TV, you've got Netflix or you've got Prime Video, right? They don't exist without each other. So in order for us to deliver on our promise of our customers to get those, we had to provide products that they could afford, that we could reach them with, that worked for them. You know, as a company, Amazon is committed to building very high value hardware products. You know, we've never targeted making money on a hardware product. We've really been about enabling services for our customers, and that goes to our philosophy in general. And I think why our products have really resonated with customers is that value they see in what we deliver is, you know, great performance, great experience, very flexible set of functionality, but at a reasonable price. And, you know, even with the Cube, which is a higher price point for us, which is at $119.99. What we're delivering with that is, you know, a pretty great value if you look at the landscape where you have, you know, a Fire TV, you have an Echo speaker built in, and you also have this full IR control of your home entertainment system. That's quite a package, and I think we're delivering a great deal of value for all our customers.
So who is buying Fire TVs these days? Do you think it's cord cutters? Is it people who are trying to augment their streaming experience? Is it people who are new to streaming?
Yes.
All of those? All right.
I think it is. I mean, I'm not trying to... Well, maybe I am. But I think it's one of those things where we see a lot of different things. In early days, absolutely, it was people who were just trying to get the streaming services. And we still have a lot of those. There are the cord cutters, of course, that like the Hulu and the PlayStation View and Sling and those sorts of things. But there's also, you know, people who just want to augment their current experience. And one of the reasons why on the Fire TV Cube, you know, you might say we are looking backwards a bit by adding support for cable boxes. So, you know, you can, you know, configure your cable box with Fire TV Cube, whether it's a Comcast box, whether it's a Time Warner box, or whoever your cable provider is, and you say tune to ESPN, and we'll tune your cable box to that channel. And that's just really recognizing that there is no one way people watch TV, and we're not here to dictate how you watch TV, but we just want to make it easier for you.
Now, Amazon channels, Amazon's model where they resell video subscription services on demand or on a la carte basis, rather, has been very successful. Again, it has been reported that the majority of HBO online subscriptions are being sold through you guys. I don't know if you can confirm that here.
Yeah, you know I can't, so.
Well, anyway. But tell me a little bit about how big channels, how important channels is for Fire TV in that environment of
having... Well, I think going to... the reason why we really like Amazon channels is it's a great experience for customers. We're able to work with our partners like HBO, like Showtime, like Starz to really integrate a very rich experience. It's very simple. You know, there's no boundaries. You can sign up for a month and say, I don't want it next month. And it's a very flexible experience. And it's very easy to do and friction-free. And that's really what we like about it. And, you know, because it's integrated with Amazon Video, you get the benefits of things like ASAP, right, which is very fast playback. And deep integration with our content catalog and search, and the reason why it's a very positive experience, why we like it, is because it's a really good customer experience, and that's really where we'd like to start.
One quick question: last year, you had some differences with Google about YouTube on Fire TV, among other devices. You couldn't use the app anymore. Now it's available through the browser. There was some talk that you were working with Google to resolve those differences. Where are we at with that?
We're still working with them. We still talk to them. I mean, we're both trying to find the best experience to bring to our customers. In the meantime, we do have Firefox and Silk and, you know, voice-enabled search for YouTube. And, you know, we've seen great engagement just like before with YouTube on our devices. But, you know, we can to work with them to find the best way to bring a great experience to Fire TV. YouTube's important to our customers, and, you know, we cannot have a great Fire TV experience without access to YouTube. So that's why, you know, we'll continue to, you know, work with them and do what we can to make that possible, because at the end of the day, it's what the customers demand, and that's what we need to deliver.
Do you think you're going to resolve it this year?
I don't know if I know, but... I would love to.
Okay, fair enough. I have one more question. It's maybe a little bit of a broader question, but I have been puzzling over this for a long time, which is, why does Amazon do Fire TV? So you just said you're going to do, you sell devices with a good value proposition. You don't really want to make money on the hardware. Is it just about making Prime more attractive? Is it about making money with channels? Is it about... Do you want to eventually sell ads through Fire TV? Is that a big business in the future?
Yeah, I think for us, it's always been about providing a canvas to highlight your services best. So whether it's music or video or Alexa or photos, you really want to provide a way for customers to get a great experience for all those products. And that's why we continue to build our hardware products. You know, as you can tell with Fire TV Edition TVs, we don't have to build the hardware. You know, Alexa has enabled Alexa on Sonos soundbars. So it's not so much we have to build the hardware. We do it because we still believe we can bring something to that experience that pushes the overall experience for all products further. I think if we've talked, like, do you walk back from that? Do you not do that? But I think... customers like the products, so we want to continue to provide them access to the things that they're doing. And we do think we make all products a little bit better by providing that extra competition or the extra outlet for customers to go looking at. It's a funny thing. You know, one of the things that Steve Jobs did when he came back to Apple was he started Apple Stores because he got sick of his computers being displayed in stores poorly. Like, you'd go into a big retailer and the PCs were all set up nicely, the Mac was always in the corner, kind of broken to pieces. And so customers always got a bad impression. So if you take that analogy to Amazon services, where you always want to make sure that you're highlighted the best possible way, and the way you can do that is to build that great hardware so that now when it's on another device, you kind of have a bar that you can make sure that's being followed.
Final question from me. When I look at competitors like Roku, I see that they're starting to sell fewer streaming devices or standalone streaming devices and more integrated into partner TVs. You're doing that as well. You have some deals with that. What do you think is the future of Fire TV? Is it devices? Is it cubes, sticks? Is it screens? Where is this going in the next couple of years?
It's a very good question, and I think we'll know soon as smart TV adoption and our services become more integrated into TVs to see how that plays into things. But you know, TVs take a long time; they live a long time, and people have TVs in their homes. And it's funny because we just did a remodel, and you know, I have a 10-year-old Samsung LCD panel, and. My wife's like, we should replace it. I'm like, it still works. Let's just put it in, and I'll use the Fire TV, and it's fine. We don't need a new TV, even though it weighs a ton, is this thick. But it's, and I think those will continue to be in the home, and I think people will continue to buy TVs, and they'll have varying degrees of experiences. Then, you know, one of the things for us is, you know, we, of course, launching Fire TV Edition at Best Buy in a couple weeks. And we hope you buy those. But if you make a mistake and don't, you can always get a Fire TV product. You can get a cube, you can get a stick, and get that same great Fire TV experience onto your regular TV. So I think it'll be continue to be a spectrum. But I think we'll see more and more in the next several years how people feel about these products.
All right. I'm glad to learn that I'm not the only one with an old TV at home. thank you very much. This was fascinating.
Thank you. Be your key.